Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, August 11th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's a look at what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, CBS News publishes a fake story about InfoWars hiring militia for protection in Ferguson.
They call themselves Oath Keepers and say they were sent to Ferguson to protect people who work for a website called InfoWars.
And a sneak preview of Project 22, a new powerful documentary created to end a tragic epidemic in America.
Suicide deaths outnumber combat deaths now for 4 years running.
One in six Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans had post-traumatic stress disorder last
year. We have a record number of 22 servicemen and women committing suicide every single day in this country.
Plus, predictions of an economic collapse are closer than you might think. Are you ready for September? All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Stocks have closed sharply lower today. The Dow has posted a 212-point drop after China roiled the global markets. Now, the Dow fell more than 200 points in the wake of a surprise devaluation of the yuan by China. China is the world's second largest economy. China's devaluation calls into question how the U.S. economy may fare as the Federal Reserve is aiming to start hiking interest rates for the first time since 2006. As signs of slowing growth abroad are persisting. So all of this is spelling a lot of trouble. Now, coming up later in the show, I'm going to be interviewing financial analyst Jeff Berwick. He is the chief editor of the Dollar Vigilante. We're going to get into this as well as some of the other signs that you need to be watching for that there is a pending economic collapse coming. This, of course, is just one of those things. But basically, the fact is, the time for kicking the can down the road is catching up to the globalist bankers, the central banks. It's time for them to pay the piper, as they say. The day of reckoning is here. Now, that interview is coming up at the end of the show. But first, earlier today, CBS just decided they would go ahead and run with a fake news story about InfoWars, basically saying that we were hiring the militia to protect our reporters out there. Mind you, Joe Biggs is a highly experienced combat veteran. However, he decided he needed to hire some heavily armed militia there to protect him and Jakari. So InfoWars did not hire the Oath Keepers. These are friends of Joe Biggs. They all spoke to each other despite the article claiming that they were hired for private security. It wasn't attributed to any source. I mean, the statement could have just come from the writer's imagination. The fact is they were not hired. They're not being paid to be out there with Joe Biggs and Jakari Jackson. Meanwhile, you've got reporters from CNN and CBS and all of these other places hiring their own armed security to protect them while they're out there covering Ferguson. So very hypocritical. But obviously what this is all about is an attempt to demonize InfoWars again for linking us to what they call a militia group and a right-wing extremist group. And you can see the way the media is wanting to portray the Oath Keepers, not giving them any credit for what they actually do. You can see how they characterize them in the article, they say the Oath Keepers is a national group best known as supporters of the Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy during his 2014 dispute with the Bureau of Land Management. They get their name from the 3% of Americans who fought in the Revolutionary War. That's, I guess, the Idaho group. And they come from what was a general rise in sometimes violent anti-government activity in the inland Northwest. After a lull following the demise of the Idaho-based neo-Nazi Aryan Nations in 2000, anti-government and white supremacist groups and individuals saw a dramatic uptick in activity and organization. Then they go on to say how they're once again showing up to a dispute in Montana over a mining claim. So really just painting the Oath Keepers as these right-wing extremists, anti-government. And so that's why they really want to point out how it's Alex Jones has linked these up and hired them to come out there heavily armed. And you can see how this, the corporate media is determined to portray the Oath Keepers and other people who are there in Ferguson, Missouri, helping residents and business owners protect their property. They're wanting to paint these people as racist outside agitators. Representative Emmanuel Cleaver, who represents Missouri's 5th Congressional District, went on MSNBC this morning, and he characterized people, these people, saying that they're people who have to be taken out. So it's not clear, was Cleaver talking about the criminals who were shooting at police or the Oath Keepers who arrived early Tuesday morning? Because the fact is, nobody was shot last night. No reporters were beaten and robbed, as one from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch was beaten and robbed. He's actually recuperating now in the hospital. But that didn't happen last night. So where is the connection? I hope people are seeing, you know, where the connection is that there were armed Oath Keepers there. An armed society is a polite society. And that's where the connection lies. And it's really funny how things change from just one year. Despite the Oath Keepers there protecting black-owned businesses from looters, we had one woman who she was thanking them, saying, please don't leave. Please stay. Please help. Watch my shop. Now, of course, the Independent also went on to contribute to this race baiting, asking why only white people are allowed to carry guns. And that is a mischaracterization, because anyone is allowed to open carry in Missouri under the law, regardless of their skin color. But once again, they don't want you to know your rights. They don't want you to know that's your right as an American. We got D. Ray McKesson, who's the one of the leaders there of Black Lives Matter, you know, also openly being courted by Hillary Clinton. He's constantly on the divide and conquer tip. So everything he is putting out is all about divide and conquer. And so, of course, he retweeted a slur against Oath Keepers and InfoWars, basically saying, why is Oath Keepers, an organization that came to the aid of Ferguson residents last year, being demonized by the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as being demonized by the mainstream media? This is the same mainstream media that was celebrating rioting and looting last year, saying it was necessary. Now, what they're not going to show you is the videos that we have up at InfoWars, where you're actually seeing this positive dialogue constructive between the protesters and the Oath Keepers. Of course, you're not going to see that, because that, of course, is counter to their narrative.
But as long as we're divided as a community, we can't fix these problems. We've got to come together. We've got to stop the hate, watch each other's back, and come together and demand that these crooked lawyer politicians, career politician, lying lawyers that are stealing from all of us, leave office and put some real people in. That's how we fix the problem. We come together and get rid of the career politicians and the lawyers.
Well, anger over the toxic mine spill has boiled over after it was revealed that the amount of toxic water that was released into the Animas River was actually three times the amount than what was previously stated, and officials are still unsure if there is a health threat to humans or animals. There was 3 million gallons of mine waste. It includes high concentrations of arsenic, lead, and other heavy metals. Now, EPA officials are saying it's going to be about August 17th until it's given the all clear. So that's just, what, 6 days away? Now, mind you, this 3 million gallons of mine waste has made it all the way to New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. And now local officials in the towns that are downstream from where these millions of gallons of toxic waste are spilling into, they're demanding answers about some possible long-term effects, threats to the water supply, And almost a week later now, members of the Navajo Nation are demanding that the federal government take action.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gina McCarthy, administrator of the United States Environmental Protection Agency. I am so proud to let you know that the United States has just taken a big step forward on climate change.
Do you still want to believe that the Environmental Protection Agency isn't a gigantic fleecing machine run by federally insulated morons?
Water to feed our lakes and streams. Rivers flowing through our communities, to the sea, to drink, to grow, to live, clean water.
Well, I'm sure it would be difficult to find anyone that agrees with you living off of the Colorado River.
We sincerely regret. We regret the impacts to the community, to the residents here, and also to all the tourists and visitors you have in your community.
Last week, the Gold King mine vomited its poisonous brew of copper, zinc, acids, and heavy metals after workers supervised by EPA officials, rather than first draining or securing the sludge, opened up the passage, leading to 3 million gallons of toxic sludge spilling into a creek that carried it into the Animas River. From there, the discharge headed toward the Colorado River, which provides water to tens of millions of Westerners. Arsenic levels in the Durango area of the Animas River were, at their peak, 300 times the normal level, and lead was 3,500 times the normal level. On top of that monumental fail, it took the EPA over 24 hours to warn local residents that the Animas was poisoned. Now La Plata and Durango, Colorado have declared a state of emergency. Accidents happen? It would make sense that they would happen on a constant basis to a federal agency eaten up with incompetence and deviant behavior paid for by our tax dollars. It's become well known that an EPA regional office in Denver, Colorado sent out emails to all of its staff asking them to please stop defecating in the office hallways. An EPA attorney was sentenced to 32 months in prison after he defrauded the government out of $900,000 by falsely claiming his numerous absences were a result of a CIA gig he was doing on the side. And while the EPA clumsily drains 3 million gallons of wildlife-killing waste into one of the most pristine areas in the United States, how many of its employees were busy back at the home office watching pornography, as was discovered of an employee that viewed more than 7,000 pornographic files during duty hours? And if all of that sounds like juvenile and harmless idiocy, the EPA took their demoniacal abuse of power to another level when they conducted diesel exhaust experiments on 10-year-old children. In January, the Washington Post reported children as young as 10 years old had diesel exhaust sprayed directly into their noses in experiments conducted at the University of Southern California and the University of California. According to documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act by the website junkscience.com, the colleges received grants from the EPA to conduct the tests. Energy and Environmental Legal Institute attorney David Schneer said, not only has the EPA been caught violating the letter and the spirit of virtually every national, international code, law, and regulation for the protection of human subjects in medical experiments developed since World War II, but they have done so in shocking style, abusing the most vulnerable people of all, children. Our ancestors would have tarred and feathered the idiots that unleashed toxic death into the Animas River in Colorado. How many more disasters can our politically correct and subservient society endure as another federally funded alphabet agency with a long, dismal track record, ripe for either abolishment, major reform, or a future tool in the bureaucracy of a maturing tyranny, destroys another segment of the American dream? John Bound for Infowars.com.
Shikari Jackson reporting for Infowars.com. What you're looking at right now, if you guys recall, last November, myself and Joe Biggs were out in Ferguson, Missouri, and this building was actually on fire. Now you can see it has been leveled to the ground. And as we look around, actually, if you turn the camera right here, you can see a gentleman actually barricading a beauty salon. If you guys recall, last time we were here in November, this beauty salon was under attack. And we had the chance to speak to one of the owners, and she said, you know, we didn't board up our building last time because we were hoping that the community would come out and show their support in a positive way and bypass us. But unfortunately, that was not the case. Now, as I always talk about when I mention Ferguson, Missouri, the majority of the people out here are peaceful people. It is a violent minority who do the actions that lead to things such as this. So we will continue to be out here and to document the things that are going on. And hopefully, if to anybody who wants to document our actions, I'm going to switch gears for a second. Get your damn story straight. We did not pay the Oath Keepers anything. I don't know where that came from. Myself and Joe Biggs talked to multiple people last night. Some of them had cameras. Some of them didn't. We told them in no uncertain terms that we did not pay the Oath Keepers anything. These were just good-hearted people. We were in contact with them. They said, hey, we can come out there and watch your back. And then they came out and watched our backs. So to anybody who is fabricating news and saying that these guys are out here menacing the people of Ferguson, Missouri, you can go to Infowars.com. You can go to the Alex Jones channel on YouTube, and you can see the Oath Keepers talking to people, talking peacefully about all manner of topics, including the Second Amendment, even very benign things such as taxes. So if you're going to report on Infowars.com, get your story straight. Jakari Jackson, you can find more reports on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube.
Authoritarians merely want obedience, while totalitarians, whose rule is rooted in an ideology, want obedience and conversion. The authoritarians are the guys in charge who want to stay in charge, and they don't much care about you or what you're doing so long as you stay out of their way. Live or die, it's all same to the regime. Totalitarians are a different breed. These are the people who have a plan, who think they see the future more clearly than you, or who are convinced they grasp reality in a way that you do not. They don't serve themselves, they serve history, or the people, or the idea, or some other ideological totem that justifies their actions. They want obedience, of course, but even more, they want their rule and their belief system to be accepted and self-sustaining. And the only way to achieve that is to create a new society of people who share those beliefs, even if it means bludgeoning every last citizen into enlightenment. That's what makes totalitarians different and more dangerous. They are totalistic in the sense they demand a complete reorientation of the individual to the state and its ideological ends. Every person who harbors a secret objection or even so much as a doubt is a danger to the future of the whole project. And so the regime compels its subjects not only to obey, but to believe.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
And that's the principle of InfoWars life, as far as I understand, that you've always had, is that it's not about synthetic chemicals and forcing actions. It's about letting your body do its own thing and giving your body the tools it needs to create these different compounds that are super valuable and super beneficial.
You will find Brain Force and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. I wanted to bring Weldon Henson in here briefly because we have a great sponsor. Boy, I've sure been enjoying the firearms that I've gotten from them. HDfirearms.com. That's Head Down Firearms. They have super high quality 223s, 308, you name it. It's called 556 technically in the 223 that are guns that would be $3,000 or $1,500. Guns that would be $1,500 or $900.
Well, the important thing to remember is that if you're not in the market to buy a brand new rifle, you have an AR-15, you have an AR-10 platform 308 rifle. They've got everything you need to upgrade it. Buy a new part, buy a new trigger, buy a new muzzle brake, buy a new handrail. It's all an upgrade for your rifle because these are all superior top-of-the-line quality products made in America.
Tell folks about their low-profile series.
Well, this is an important thing to have. This is untraceable. Anybody can get this kit right here. You don't have to go through a federal firearms license place. You can have it shipped right to your house.
This is what the traders have been trying to shut down.
Absolutely. So you basically have everything you need besides a lower receiver because that's what's traceable, that's what's serialized, and that's what the federal government's after. But you can get this right here. Get your own lower receiver any way you want. There's different programs. All you got to do is your own research, and you can find out how to get a lower receiver so that you can put it on this. Maybe you already have a lower receiver from an AR from way back that you just don't quite use anymore. It's old, something like that. You can throw it on this. You basically have a brand new rifle, and you saved money by putting it together yourself and buying this kit right here, which is cheaper than the actual rifle.
And they've got the highest quality barrels, the highest quality triggers. We're not just saying that. Go look at the third-party reviews. Tell them about the new rifle they're producing that's getting amazing reviews. And then I just got one, this 308.
Yes, that is very...
Arcadius.
Arcadius. That's very exciting. They just came out with their own line of AR-10 platforms, which is basically an AR-15, but instead of it being a 5.56, it shoots a 308 round, which I know you personally like shooting a 308.
I like them both. And, I mean, just to be clear, they've always, for years, been making this for the big manufacturers, the high-end. They're just now not private labeling. They're putting out their own guns.
Yes. Well, the one they sent you, I'm actually jealous of. It's a beautiful gun. It's set up and configured for long-range shooting, marksmanship-type things.
Just the scope alone is something to snuggle with.
Yeah, it's a Vortex 4x16 scope, which you can get a head down as well, their distributor. And I think things for people to remember is that if you want a 308, you don't have to get the 18-inch barrel. You don't have to get the 22-inch barrel. You don't have to get it set up for marksmanship. You can get one with a 16-inch barrel that's set up for more of an assault weapon type, you know, configuration. So anything you want, people just call head down. You can get anything you want made there and any configuration you might want on your rifle. They're able to do that, and they have 100% perfect customer service ratings there.
Bottom line, it's not just firearms, a ton of accessories, very affordable, and it supports the InfoWar. If you're not shopping at HDFirearms.com, you're not helping the InfoWar. I mean, this is a win-win. Thank you all for your support. Check them out today. Thank you, Weldon.
In South Africa call it the Kaneni, which is this knowledge of this shadow that follows you around and never lets you forget what you've done.
When war doesn't have a name anymore, now war has a face. Millions of men and women that relive those horrors every single day of their life. Every day.
Everything that I was in my whole career, my whole path, everything that I wanted to do, it was stripped away from me.
Project 22 is about raising awareness for the fact that 22 veterans are committing suicide every single day. But it's not just about awareness, it's prevention. We're trying to prevent. And we have to show these veterans what's out there for them.
We're a family that's seen the hell of war, and we've taken the pain we've gone through, and we've helped over 450 that have come through here.
There is hope for you, and there's more than hope. There is a very high probability that you can get your life back and return to function.
If you take out the war and the killing and all the ugliness, the core of what we did and who we are is something beautiful.
Joining me now is Stan Mayer. He is a Marine and combat wounded veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, currently living here in Austin, Texas. Stan will be hosting a screening of Project 22 here tomorrow night. This film was created by your close personal friends and fellow veterans in an effort to help, you know, bring some hope and stop this suicide epidemic. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
How did you get involved with Project 22?
I got involved with Project 22 as a result of a personal experience with veteran suicide. I lost my best friend, as a casualty of this epidemic that's, you know, plagued the veteran population since we've returned. And, the result of that was me reaching out to Doc and Dan as they were filming Project 22 and saying, hey, what you're doing is a pretty amazing thing. How do I get involved? Well, they're in the midst of filming that. And, it wasn't until afterwards that, we actually connected personally and met with each other. Now I'm trying to proliferate the word by, encouraging people to host screenings throughout the country, different states. And this has been going on all over the place. I have a screening that's about to be hosted in Hawaii right now, which is good.
Mm-hmm. And so the film was made by, Doc and Dan, two combat veterans. What was the defining moment for them where they said, you know what, enough is enough. We've got to do something. And then they set about on the 6,500-mile cross-country journey.
So Doc and Dan had been friends for a while. At the time, I believe they were in New York. And they were both going through their own personal struggles with this. The reality is that veterans are trained, soldiers, Marines, whatever, servicemen are trained for years to prepare them for battle. And they go overseas and they fight and they experience all these things. There's no reason that they're not capable of reintegrating back home when they return. But we get a 3, maybe 7-day separation course, and we're on our way when we get out of the military. And this is why there's such a disconnect with veterans feeling isolated, not able to reintegrate. We could do a much better job at doing that. What inspired Doc and Dan to do this, after their own personal struggles with this situation, they made the phone call, talked to each other, and said, hey, man, this is insane. We have to do something, mm-hmm. anything. Nobody's really taking action. So they thought that if they could ride across the country and film this and shove this film into as many people's faces as they could possibly present it to, that they could at least get people talking about it. And it was to raise awareness. But the beauty of what this film actually did, now that we've been screening it throughout the country, is that it's beginning a dialogue between family members and veterans, the community, people are completely unrelated to the veteran population. You don't have a friend that was in the war. You don't have a father that served. Doesn't matter. People are seeing that there is they're dispelling the idea that every veteran that comes home that has PTS, or TBI or has experienced war is now dysfunctional, not a functional member of society. But would, it comes down to is that veterans are actually highly functional members of society, some of the most functional members of society, because they have this great wealth of wisdom and knowledge that comes from where they've been. And we're watching this dialogue begin. It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say is the general response from veterans, their family members alike? And I know that you are, the film was able to kind of expose a lot of different therapies that veterans are engaging in, rather than just, I think the initial response from the VA is to kind of give them the pills to help them cope. And yeah, Obviously that might not be effective.
I love this because this film is exposing a lot of things. And one of the things they'll show in the film are veterans having sailing clinics and veterans doing yoga and veterans, you know, throwing clay and making pottery, which is great. Most veterans are going to say, no, thank you. I'm going to sit at home, play video games, which is fine. You can do whatever you want. The point isn't that you need to go sailing to not kill yourself. The point is that you need to reach out. You need to get with people. You need to start a dialogue. Have a buddy that calls you. And at the very end of the film, a point is made and says, pick up the phone. It's that easy. And that doesn't mean me as, you know, Marine Stan has to call my, you know, Marine Dan and say, hey, man, are you doing okay tonight? But you know, Leanne, call me anytime and see how we're doing, and reaching out to the community and linking that up.
Connecting like that. Well, it's definitely a very important project. You're going to be screening Project 22 here in Austin, Texas, like I said, Wednesday night. To reserve a seat to that, you're going to go to tug.com. You'll select Project 22. There will be a link there. You can purchase tickets for the Austin screening, but you can also see all of the other screenings that are going to be taking place all throughout the United States. But there's something else that's really important with this film is that it is crowdsourced screening. So how can people request Project 22 in their city?
So it's actually really simple. A lot of people see that and they're like daunted by it, you know, like host a screening of a film and have to go out and talk to the theaters. You actually have nothing to do with the theater whatsoever. It's, you simply, you can go on the medicinal missions, website, and there's the drop box that says Project 22, and you can request a screening through TUG. And, when you do that, a liaison that handles everything, it just says, hey, I want to show this movie in Austin, Texas. And they say, hey, these theaters are available. What night do you want? This night.
Yeah.
And then they say, all right, tickets will be on sale through the website. Advertise on Facebook, talk to your friends, reach out, you know, VFWs, whatever you can. It doesn't matter. However you can get people involved, and then they purchase tickets through the website. And if they meet the threshold of ticket sales, then they'll put the show on. If they don't, then the show doesn't go on.
Right. So it's all about getting the word out. Well, just the closing word, why is it important for people to see this film?
This film is important because it's, like I said, it's beginning that dialogue. It's bridging this gap. It's dissolving the isolation that occurs, that is the reason that we have guys that are, they're trapped in their own experiences, and they don't, I mean, we have alphas that don't want to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And it's not asking for help. It's bringing everyone back together. And this film is doing that.
Yeah. Saving lives and, making sure you can reach tomorrow's 22. It's the tagline in the film. Well, stick around because coming up, we're going to play a very important message from Alex Jones. He wants to break down the mystery behind the giant statue of Hercules inside the Vatican.
I'm running for president. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, and I hope you'll join me on this journey.
Another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Shane Steiner. A lot of you have been following my progress using Superman Vitality. The last 19 weeks has been an incredible experience. I was feeling a little down and lethargic during the holidays, and none of the supplements that I was taking were doing any good. That's when my longtime friend from high school, Alex Jones, introduced me to Superman Vitality. I was a little skeptical at first. Not only would I have the energy to work out and go to the gym, but it was actually the changes were happening to my body. A lot more rapidly. My whole mood, my libido, everything had completely changed. The concentrated organic herbs, they stimulate your natural systems to produce the natural hormones that you need. I just really wanted to bulk up and hit it hard, and I went in for about the first 5 weeks and was lifting heavy weight and just really hitting it hard, and I gained 20 pounds of muscle immediately. Since that, I've decided I was going to lose some weight and slim down. I just changed up my workout a little bit, and 35 pounds came off. Folks, this is not a joke. This is not a gimmick. It's real. Super Male Vitality. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and could not be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape, but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
Earlier in the broadcast, I talked about the Garth Brooks song where he talks about sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And I think back in my life how many times I wanted something, how many times I prayed about something, and what I wanted in my heart didn't happen, and it turned out that it was a great thing that it didn't happen. Because when one door shuts, a lot of other doors open. And sure, all these things I'm saying are cliches because they're so true. So I traveled to Rome, was there 5 days with our reporters to research just how bad the immigrant waves into the country are, just how serious the infrastructure problems are, and to see just how draconian EU tyranny was. And we're making a documentary on that subject. We also went to Spain. But when you talk about sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers, I don't literally think this story is true. That is, I don't think Zeus was real or that the archetype of Hercules was real. But it is a good parallel to understand how the real world works, that when one door closes, another opens. Now, this part of the story is true. There was a pantheon of Hercules and his 99 statues of each of them at the temple to Hercules. And in Roman times, the huge bronze statue of Hercules, I stood below it, it's got to be about 40 feet tall, was struck by lightning during a storm and knocked over. The Romans thought this was a sign. They were obsessed with tea leaves and reading the entrails of animals and the stars, that the king of the gods, Zeus, was angry with Hercules and had hit him with this bolt of lightning because Zeus is the god of lightning. And, of course, that's the name of the Greek god of lightning, the king of the gods. It's the same god under the Romans but called Jupiter. So Jupiter was angry and had killed Hercules in figure because they believed the statues were actually inhabited by the spirit of the god, or at least an aspect of the god. They have the temple to Mars there across the street from the Roman Forum, but it's Mars Vengeance, built by the adopted son of Julius Caesar I, after he pledged to wipe out all those that killed his father. When the last one was killed, he built this temple. But I digress. Then, hundreds of years later, when barbarians from the north, Visigoths, came in and sacked Rome and melted down the bronze statues into weapons, The only statue they couldn't find was Hercules, because they believed Hercules had been basically killed by Zeus, and so the Romans had buried him under the temple floor right where he'd fallen. So all the other 99 of Hercules were melted down, and their physical embodiment was destroyed. So was it a curse from Jupiter? Was it a curse from Zeus in the Greek to strike him with lightning and knock him down, knowing the Romans would then bury him, and then a few hundred years later he wouldn't be destroyed? Or was it a blessing so that he now stands in the center of the Vatican Museum, surrounded by all this other incredible art? That is an allegory or a parable of sometimes curses are actually blessings and blessings are actually curses. You've just got to have the perspective in time and realize that sometimes Jupiter works in mysterious ways. And before the New York Times runs with a story saying I believe in Greek and Roman gods, I don't. But I believe in the aspects of those gods as archetypes. We can certainly learn from it. And I think the Romans had a lot more common sense than a lot of our leaders today. And I was drawn to the Roman art. I was repulsed by the Vatican art. And the Vatican itself at St. Peter's Basilica looked like a nightmare giant Las Vegas casino on steroids. It had one of the worst vibes I've ever felt. Worse vibe than even the Roman Colosseum. That's just my gut response. Maybe it's because Pope Francis, the world government globalist, is now in control, or maybe it always felt like that.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
It is a big idea, a new world order, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
So that the problem of the Bush presidency will be the emergence of a new international order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international order.
The beginning of a new international order.
The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't just a crisis.
It's about the future of Europe and a new world order.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
But today, with Asia already outproducing Europe, India and China are clearly becoming part of our new order.
We are now facing a common challenge. And the challenge is how to build a world order for the first time in history on a global basis.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis.
And the president outlined his vision of a new world order in which the U.S. would participate fully.
We've got to give them a stake
in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
So I see a world order in the future with a multipolar world order.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
But in a globalized economy, we are going to have to take global responsibilities, and there is going to have to be some semblance of global governance.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions or on so global a scale. Nor has any previous order had to combine the attributes of the historic balance of power system with global democratic opinion and the exploding technology of the contemporary period.
And I strongly believe India will be a central actor in the new world order.
There also exists an extraordinary opportunity to form for the first time in history a truly global society.
2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet.
New World Order is the headline in the Globe and Mail in Canada.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
Of course we are. We are absolutely slaves to central banks.
Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. Vote for Jeb, or you're just fucking stupid.
Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win, the ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force. The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. For a limited time, get 25% off on this introduction. Offer. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. AncientDefense.com.
We have heard a lot about a pending economic crisis. Well, my guest today has a video that's gone viral where he discusses some of the signs that we should be watching for to really kind of indicate when something big is about to happen. He's going to break down some of these signs as well as give you some suggestions how to protect yourself from this coming economic collapse. All right, joining me now, Jeff Berwick. He is the chief editor of The Dollar Vigilante, world famous financial analyst. I know you've got, you're living there in beautiful Acapulco. We can see that behind you. Jeff, you started Canada's largest financial website, Stockhouse.com, in 1994, the Dollar Vigilante in 2010. We brought you on the show today because you recently produced a video. It's gone viral. It's called Shmita Exposed, Financial Crisis Planned for September 2015. So tell us, what is the Shmita exactly, and why should we be concerned about it?
Of course. First of all, thank you very much, Leanne. It's a real pleasure to be on with you. Big fan of InfoWars. As far as the Shmita goes, I started something called the Dollar Vigilante in 2010, expecting a financial and a collapse of the U.S. dollar within 5 to 10 years. And we're now 5 years in, and I'm starting to see a lot of the first signs of this beginning to happen. But it wasn't until recently that I came across something called the Shmita after reading a book by Jonathan Cahn called The Harbinger. And it really seemed to show that every 7 years, which is the Shemitah, so the Shemitah is a Judaic religion, something in the Judaic religion, where every 7 years they wash away all debts, and they that's essentially what they say in their religion. And actually, if you look at the exact date of the end of the Shemitah year, every 7 years, it seems like some sort of major market or financial calamity seems to happen, and this is what I started to look into. So I look back at the last one, which was in 2008, which was September 29th. That was the last major market crisis collapse. And that, on that day, the market fell 777 points. Then you go back 7 years prior to that was September 17th, 2001. That was the exact end date of the Shemitah in 2001. And the markets, that was the first day that the U.S. stock markets opened after 9/11. And the markets fell 7% on that day. You can keep going back every 7 years. 1994 was the bond market massacre. Of course, 1987 was Black Monday. So these things seem to have some sort of reason or some sort of a plan to them, or at least the market seem to adhere to it. So I've been looking at this year coming up. We're at the end of Shemitah year right now, and it actually ends on September 13th of this year. So I'm looking at the September 13th date. And when I started looking into that date, I started to realize there is a lot of things happening all around that date of major significance, including, as you guys know very well, I follow your coverage of Jade Helm very much. That ends on September 15th, so that's a very interesting date. September 15th is also the 70th UN Jubilee session, where world leaders will be around the world, including the Pope in New York on that day. And then the day after that, the Federal Reserve is having a meeting where they may increase interest rates by 0.25%, which alone can totally destroy this entire debt-based financial and economic system.
Hmm. And it's interesting that it's being called the Jubilee, because isn't this the Jubilee year as well?
Yes, that's right. So every 50 years, so every seven Shemitahs, which is 49, you have to be good at math or at least know football. That's how I do my sevens. So every 49 years, after that year, every 50th year is called the Jubilee. The last one was in 1967, and that was when Israel won the I forget how many days it was, five-day war, six-day war, I believe it was called. And then before that was when the British Empire took over Israel. And so on the Jubilee year, according to Jewish religion, is something the Jewish people are supposed to get back their land that was taken away from them. So I'm also watching that for next year, because we're also seeing in the UN they're going to be voting on a Palestinian state in this September. So there's a lot going on that is all tied into this Shemitah.
Wow, that's very interesting. Now, do you think that this Shemitah cycle could be exploited by criminal elements within the banking elite?
Well, the banking elite are criminal elements to start with, of course, and the government as well. The governments and central banks are criminal entities. They're anti-freedom, evil, anti-human organizations. And, of course, they sort of plan these things out. If you look back throughout history, even the Great Depression, the main market drop during the Great Depression was during the Shemitah year in 1931-32. And they planned that out. That's actually been fairly proven now, that they actually planned to take away liquidity from the market, get the market to go down massively, and then buy up all the stock. I don't know if that's what they're doing this time, because a lot's changed since 1930, but there definitely seems to be something planned for this September or maybe October.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of different signs and people kind of predicting a lot of different things happening here this fall. So what happens if these signs are accurate?
Well, there's really no way to know. There's so many things going on. I've been predicting that we're going to see a major market crisis collapse or end of the monetary system as we know it anyway in the next couple of years. So even if nothing major happens in September, October, I still recommend to people to be very safe, to follow a lot of the advice that we're giving at the Dollar Vigilante, and to start to get out of the financial system and monetary systems, because even if it doesn't happen this fall, it's going to happen in the next few years, almost baked in the cake.
Right. I was kind of researching that myself. It does sort of go in cycles. It's the real estate cycle, and then I guess the bond market or something. What's the next card to fall?
Well, what you're talking about are bubbles that are created by central bank money printing. So the tech bubble was one. After the tech bubble collapsed, Paul Krugman called for a housing bubble, and he got it. That collapsed in 2007. That's now turned into a government debt bubble, which is absolutely massive, which will collapse at some point and take down the entire financial, monetary, and economic system with it. And that will happen in the next few years. So people who are paying attention to what's going on in Greece, if you live in the U.S., that's going to happen in the U.S. It's actually going to be even worse in the U.S. So I advise people to prepare now.
Yeah, we're already starting to see that, I guess, happen in Puerto Rico. But Obama says there's not going to be any Greece-style bailout of for Puerto Rico. So what are some things that you suggest for people to start doing now?
Well, I've been recommending all along to get out of the financial system as much as possible. Get your money outside of the U.S. as possible. We have a lot of that sort of information at the dollarvigilante.com. Get into precious metals, hard assets, anything that Janet Yellen can't counterfeit or turn into worthlessness, which is going to do with the U.S. dollar, is a good idea.
Mm. And so what do you think about everything that's going on with China?
Well, I think China is really just a precursor to what we're going to be seeing globally. If you look back at 2007, the last time there was a major Chinese stock market collapse was in 2007, and of course 2008 is when it all came over in contagion to the U.S. I think the exact same thing's happening right now. It almost looks like a exact repeat of 2007 right now, with oil collapsing, Chinese stock market collapsing, Greece again having problems. They always have problems, though, so that's normal. And commodities going down. Even right now we're seeing, I think, the pre-shocks, the pre-tremors of a major market crisis coming in the fall. We're seeing the Dow, it was down 7 days in a row. It's down big again today. I think these are just the pre-shocks towards a major crisis.
Mm. And so do you think that those are the little small signs, or is there one big thing that it's going to signal to you, like, this is it?
No, there's no one big thing. There's thousands of black swans in the sky, as far as I can tell. And there's so many black swans in the sky that it's almost becoming an eclipse, in my opinion. Anything can set it off. The Arab Spring was set off by just one person in a market in Tunisia lighting himself on fire because he couldn't afford to live anymore. That set off the entire Arab Spring. So you have no way to know what's going to set it off. But something's going to happen. If not this fall, soon enough, that I'd rather be a year early than a day too late in this sort of event.
Yeah, absolutely. I've already kind of started arranging some of those things myself. Well, Jeff Berwick, the chief editor of Dollar Vigilante, so people can find more information there and find some ways that they can actually move their money around and get out of the dollar market here, right?
Yes, absolutely. Just go to dollarvigilante.com, put your email in, and we'll send you information every day. Or if you want to check out our viral video on surviving Sumita, just go to survivesumita.com.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jeff.
Thank you, Liam. My pleasure.
That's it for the show tonight. Thank you for tuning in. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Your subscription will help take us to the next level. And you can also become a paid subscriber to PrisonPlanet.tv. Your subscription there is going to get you more than 18 years worth of content that you're not going to find on YouTube. And you can share your username and password with up to 20 people at the same time. And we always appreciate it because your support is what helps us put this operation on. Thank you all so much. We'll see you here again Monday, 7 p.m. Central.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports. And it's because of Brain Force.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
And that's the principle of InfoWars life, as far as I understand, that you've always had, is that it's not about synthetic chemicals and forcing actions. It's about letting your body do its own thing and giving your body the tools it needs to create these different compounds that are super valuable and super beneficial.
You will find BrainForce and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.